You are not actually unhappy. You're addicted to being right. Think about it. Every time something goes wrong, there's a small, quiet part of you that feels a hit of satisfaction underneath the frustration. I knew it. When you think about it, I'm right. I called it. This is exactly what I said would happen. You've built an entire identity around being the one who saw the disaster coming and being right about the disaster, and it feels so good that you've started quietly rooting for disasters just so you could be right again. That is not pessimism. That is not just being realistic, which is the lie you tell yourself to make it sound responsible. That is an addiction. And like every addiction, it's not actually about the thing itself, it's about the hit. The hit of being right is real, chemical, satisfying, and it's costing you the one thing you say you want most, which is to actually be happy. You cannot be addicted to being right about how bad shit is and how bad things are, and also be the kind of person who experiences real joy, because those two things cannot occupy the same body at the same time. Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen, Bitch Podcast. I am Brandon Lynette. I'm your voice authority podcast coach. Your mess is your message. Your potential is your purpose. Get the fuck over yourself and go build some shit. And nobody really talks about this because it doesn't look like what people picture it when they picture an unhappy person. Okay. This is not about the crying on the couch. This is about that specific satisfied certainty of being the one who predicted the bad outcome and how good that certainty feels and how much it's costing you without ever noticing the trade that you're actually making. Before we go in today, the show is brought to you by my favorite super patch. We've got Joy today because joy and the addiction to being right cannot coexist in your body, and I want you to feel the actual difference. Joy supports natural happiness and optimism. It's drug-free, made in the USA, vibrotactile technology working through your nervous system, and I always keep a link in the show notes. Yeah, and not me, just blinded, staring at my light today. I feel like I'm going to record this whole show just with my eyes closed, y'all. This light, the light. Can we just make dark podcast videos cool instead of having all the light? Because I'm over it today. It's been a long day of interviews, but anyway, here's the thing. Nobody sits down and consciously decides to be just addicted to the negativity. That would sound insane if you said it out loud, but almost everyone I know has some version of this running quietly in the background, and it disguises itself so well that they call it being realistic or being cautious, being someone who doesn't get their hopes up. And what's actually happening is predicting a bad outcome and then watching it come true gives you something incredibly valuable, which is that certainty. And we as humans, we love that shit. We love certainty. But bitch, you really love being right. And you were right. Your model of the world held up. You didn't get blindsided. And certainty to your brain feels like safety, even when the thing you're certain about was terrible. So you get this strange, uncomfortable satisfaction sitting right next to the disappointment. And over time, if you're not paying attention, the satisfaction of being right starts to matter more to you than the outcome of, outcome actually being good. And that's why some people can't let themselves get excited about shit without immediately attaching a disclaimer. I'm excited, but I'm not going to get my hopes up. Like, how many times have you said that? Because if it goes wrong, I want to have already called it. That disclaimer feels like protection. It's actually you protecting the addiction, making sure you get your hit of being right no matter what happens, instead of actually risking the vulnerability of truly hoping for something and being disappointed without the consolation prize of I told you so. You've been choosing the certainty of being right over the uncertainty of being happy. And today I call bullshit on that. Happiness requires you to be wrong sometimes. And nobody wants to fucking admit that. If you let yourself believe things could go well and then they don't, you don't get to be the one who saw it coming. You just get to be disappointed. Like, that's it. Without the comfort of having predicted it. That's a scarier position than being disappointed and right, because being disappointed and right at least gives you something to hold on to, right? Your model of the world still worked. You are still, in some sense, in control because you understand the situation correctly, even if the situation was bad. Being happy and hopeful means giving up that control. It means saying, I don't know what is going to happen today, and I'm going to let myself feel good anyway. And if it goes wrong, I'm going to be disappointed. With nothing to soften the blow of that. No, I told you so, no vindication, just a really plain, undefended disappointment of someone who just let herself hope. That's genuinely more valuable than being right about the bad outcome. And your brain, which is going to prioritize that safety over joy every single time given the choice, it will often choose the guarded, correct misery over the exposed, uncertain idea of happiness. And it's not a character flaw. It's a trade you've probably been making without realizing it. Protection instead of joy, certainty instead of hope, and being right instead of being happy. And you can keep making that trade for the rest of your life and never once notice that it was a choice, because it just feels like seeing things clearly. But there is a mechanism behind why being right feels so good. And I think once you see it, you can't unsee how much it's been running the program. It's been running your life. Confirmation of a prediction, any prediction, activates the brain's reward circuitry. The same basic system evolved in other reward-based behaviors. When reality matches what you expected, even what you, ex you know, if what you expected was bad, your brain registers it as a small success, because accurate prediction is fundamentally what the brain is for. It's built to model the world and reward itself when the model turns out to be correct. This means a negative prediction that comes true can produce a genuine reward signal layered right underneath the disappointment of the bad outcome itself. And most people never separate those two feelings because they're so fucking tangled together. But over time, if you repeatedly get this reward from negative predictions and it's coming true, you train your brain to actively favor generating negative predictions, because negative predictions are, in a strange way, very strange way, they're safer bets. Bad shit's easier to imagine vividly and just easier to justify as realistic. And confirming them costs you nothing except more evidence for a worldview you already have. Positive predictions. Now that's the risk, bitch, because when they fail to come true, there's no reward signal to soften the blow, just the plain cost of fucking disappointment. And your brain, optimizing for the safest available reward, starts quietly favoring pessimism. And it's not because pessimism is more accurate, but because it's a better trade on a specific reward that it's designed to choose. And the way out, honestly, is not forcing yourself to be blindly positive. None of that toxic bullshit is not going to work, and it's not honest anyway. It's noticing the hit when it happens. Like the next time something goes wrong and you feel that small, satisfied, like, bitch, I knew it. I fucking knew it. Underneath the disappointment, I want you to name it. That's the reward circuitry firing on being right, not on the outcome being good. Once you can see the two feelings as separate instead of tangled together, you could start choosing not to feed the one that's costing you your actual happiness. Neuroplasticity means the pathway that currently favors negative predictions can be retrained, but only if you stop mistaking the hit of being right for actual fucking wisdom, really. Okay? Think about a smoke detector that has been rigged to go off constantly at the smallest hint of anything, whether or not there's an actual fire. So this happens every time I turn on my stove, right? At first, it seems protective. It's just warning you about everything all the time. And you feel like you're never going to be caught off guard by a real fire because you're always braced for one. But eventually you realize the detector is not actually protecting you from fires. It's just making you live in a permanent state of alarm, of the constant chirp and the beeping and the strange relief you feel every time it turns out it was just smoke, but no real fire. See, like the I was right to be alarmed. That's not safety. That is really just the exhausting satisfaction of a system that's been calibrated to expect disaster constantly, whether or not disaster is actually coming. You've built this internal smoke detector. And it's been rigged the same way, and it goes off constantly, predicting the worst. And every time the worst actually shows up, some part of you feels that strange relief. I was right to be alarmed, but you're not actually safer for it. You're just living in a permanent state of bracing, mistaking the relief of correct alarm for the peace of actual safety. And those are not the same thing at all. A detector never fucking stops going off is not protecting you, just making sure you never get to fucking chill. You'll never get to feel calm ever, regardless of whether the danger is real. So I just want you to be aware of this, and I really want you to recalibrate the detector. Let it go off for just actual fire. Stop rigging it to scream out everything just so you get to feel the relief of having been right. And I see you. I understand, like, you think you're being smart and careful and realistic, and underneath that is someone who's quietly traded happiness for the comfort of never being caught off guard, and you call it protecting yourself. What you're protecting is really just certainty. Your own sense of having understood the situation correctly, even when understanding it correctly means expecting the worst, constantly getting it. You're going to get what you focus on every single time, and what you expect is going to come. But you get so good at predicting disappointment that you've stopped noticing how much satisfaction you take in about being right. That satisfaction's become familiar. It's like a drug now. It doesn't even register as a feeling anymore. It just feels like being smart. And there's a cost of that. And I can see it, even if you don't see it yet. Because a life built around the reward of correct pessimism is a life that's quietly given up that reward of actual joy. And you've been calling that trade wisdom for so long that you forgot it was a trade at all. But I see you're fully capable. You're fully capable of feeling real, undefended happiness, the kind without the big disclaimer attached, and who's just never let yourself practice. You've just never let yourself practice enough to really trust that. That capacity didn't go anywhere. It's just been unused while the smoke detector does all the talking. If you just recognize your own smoke detector, I want you to send this episode to a person in your life who calls their pessimism realism, and then go feel one thing today without attaching your bullshit disclaimer. 10 spies and 2 spies looked at the exact same promised land and saw 2 completely different things. 10 of them came back and said the land was full of giants, that the people there were too strong, that trying to enter was a certain disaster. And they were, by every account, technically correct about what they observed. There really were giants. The cities really were fortified. Their prediction of difficulty wasn't something that they made up. And 2 of them, talking about Joshua and Caleb, looked at the exact same giants, the exact same fortified cities, and said, "We can do this," because they weren't looking for confirmation that caution was justified. They were looking at what God had already promised and letting that promise be more real to them than the satisfaction of correctly identifying every obstacle in the way. The 10 who were technically right about the danger led an entire government to wander in the wilderness for 40 years instead of entering what had already been promised to them. Being right about the giants cost them the land. The accuracy was not the problem. Their addiction to the accuracy, their need to be validated in their fear, is what kept them circling the same wilderness instead of moving towards what was already there. You have your own giants. You have your own fortified cities, your own accurate, technically correct reasons why this is going to be hard or might not work. Joshua and Caleb did not deny that the giants existed. They just refused to let being right about the giants outweigh the promise. So stop needing to be right about the wilderness and start moving toward the land. This means you got to catch the hit. The next time something goes wrong and you feel that, "I knew it, bitch," you feel that little bit of satisfaction coming up underneath a disappointment, I want you to call yourself out on that shit. That's the reward circuitry firing on being right. It's not the outcome. Let yourself be wrong on the hopeful side. Pick one thing this week and hope for it fully without the disclaimer, without preloading the "I told you so" in case it folds. Feel the actual vulnerability of that and do it anyway. And then recalibrate your fire detector. Ask honestly whether the alarm going off constantly has ever really protected you from anything, or if it just guarantees you never get to fucking chill. You're not unhappy because life keeps disappointing you. You're unhappy because you've been quietly rewarding yourself every time it does, and that reward has just trained you, like a little puppy, to expect the worst so reliably that hoping for anything else now feels like a risk you can't afford to take. It was never really about being realistic, it was about the hit. the satisfaction of being right, sitting there underneath every disappointment. So familiar, you stop noticing it's there. So comfortable, you start calling it wisdom, the whole time, real happiness. The undefended disclaimer-free kind has been sitting untouched because you've been too busy protecting your record of correct predictions to ever actually risk it. The 10 spies were right about the giants, and it cost them the promised land. Being right is not the same as being free. You can keep collecting your small, bitter hits of I knew it for the rest of your fucking life. Or you can let go of the need to be right about how bad shit is and let yourself actually want something without the fucking disclaimer. Recalibrate the detector. Stop rigging it to scream at everything. And when you're ready to stop circling the wilderness of your own accurate predictions and actually build shit that you've been too scared to fucking hope for, I want you to come find me. If you have a story or a calling sitting on either side of your own giants, build it in the Audacity Lab where the promise gets turned into something real instead of just something you were just technically right about. If you're not ready to build a whole show yet, maybe for yourself, but you know you have a story worth telling, I dare you to come sit in my hot seat and let me help you see what you are actually capable of before you talk yourself back into the wilderness. Show notes are available. That's how you reach out to me, brandonlynette.com. I will see you guys. Shit, is this Thursday? I will see you next week.